chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices, year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember the former days, when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Amen. So Hebrews, like we've been looking at it, it is written, it is meant to encourage Jewish believers to persevere in their faith, right? And like any good persuasive argument, persuasive speech, the author first points out the reasons why they should persevere in their faith in Jesus. And then he will say, hey, therefore, because of this and this and this, let us persevere. One of the first reasons that he talks about in this chapter, and he's been talking about it all throughout the book, is this fact that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient. One sacrifice was sufficient to take away all sins and to give us a clean conscience. And as I was just reading this passage, something came up to me that I just wanted to bring up to you. He says in in verse 3, in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. And he's talking about how in the Old Testament system, priests daily had to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people and for his own sin, day after day, year by year, offering the same sacrifice, which could not take away their sin. And I wonder for us if we do the same thing. When we come to church and we come to morning prayer and we come before God, but we're not really resting in our in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And instead, we come day after day, and we're offering the same sacrifice of, oh, I'm sorry, God, you know, for who I am, for what I've done. And we offer the same sacrifice, not really having understood that we are completely forgiven and that our conscience is clean before God because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And instead of just coming and receiving that kind of acceptance, you know, that kind of coming with the faith that God enjoys us when we come before Him, any time that we come before Him that He enjoys us, but we come instead, you know, year after year, day after day, we're bringing the same sacrifice, same repentance, same confessions, but we're never really fully grasping that truth, that we are truly accepted into the presence of God. So I just wanted to just say, hey, you know, we don't have to do that anymore. Just as this scripture tells us, Jesus Christ has paid the price once and for all. And one sacrifice was sufficient to take away all sins for all time for all of us. So we can come before God confidently all the time. And that's just a side note. But what I wanted to say was, you know, he begins the whole book of Hebrews. The writer will give reasons from the beginning to this chapter. He's giving reasons and making like the foundational work to say, hey, on this basis, I'm going to encourage you to persevere in your faith. So this whole book is almost leading up all the way. All the book is leading up to chapters 10 through 13. And 10 through 13 is the main message of, hey, let's persevere. You know, let us continue on in our faith. Let's hold fast to the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And all the preceding chapters provide the reasons why we should persevere and why we should hold on to Jesus, why we should not turn away from our faith in Christ. And for example, right, let us imagine that you are emailing your niece or nephew who is about to enter into college. Right, you're emailing with her or him or her, and he's asking you for advice. He's saying, hey, auntie, uncle, what are some things that I should look for in deciding which college I need to go to? You know, what do you think? And you're giving your advice, you know, and you want to tell them to go to the same university that you went to when you were a college student. And for me, I went to Biola University. So I could say something like, hey, dear, let's say my niece's name is Lenny. So I could say, hey, dear Lenny, go to Biola, Uncle Nate, send, right? But that wouldn't be very effective. That wouldn't be very efficient in convincing my niece to go to Biola University. Rather, I would say something like this. I would say, hey, I can begin with, you know, why do we go to college? You know, what is the purpose of college? What is that time meant to do for an individual? And then I could talk about how Biola has amazing Christian professors who love God, and you will be surrounded by Christians who will be in a community that will, you know, grow your faith and solidify your faith in Jesus Christ. And I could talk about how great the weather is in Southern California. I could talk about the beaches and the sun and all the nice things that's in Southern California. I could talk about my own experience of how I had a great time at Biola with my friends, with the classes that I took, you know, just the experiences that I've had there. I could also mention some of the great people that came out of Biola. Maybe some people that she knows, you know, I could say, hey, you know, these people came out of Biola and they're great examples for you. And I could also say, you know, I could compare Biola to other schools and say, you know, this and this is why I think Biola is better for you. And then at the end of that email, I would say, therefore, since Biola is this and this and this and this, I think you should go to Biola. Right? That would be a good persuasive argument. And that's what the writer is doing here in this book. In this whole book, he begins by saying, hey, God has revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. He used to reveal himself through the prophets, through the writings, but now he has revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And this Jesus, he is greater than the angels. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than the law and the prophets. And he is greater than the old covenant system. And he breaks it down even further by saying, you know, the old covenant system of sacrifices could never make you completely clean. It only could deal with, you know, regulations and rules regarding food and washings, but it could never make your conscience clean. And in the old covenant system, you had to give sacrifice year by year, day after day, the same thing over and over again. But this Jesus, his sacrifice is sufficient once and for all to take away all your sin and to make your conscience clean. And the old covenant system was a shadow of the real thing to come, but Jesus is the real thing, right? So he makes this argument for why Jesus is so much greater. And then, in today's chapter, finally, after giving all these reasons, the writer says, therefore, right? In verse 19, it says, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. This is almost the whole book. The whole book, from chapters 1 through half of chapter 10, the writer is giving us a reason why we should continue on in our faith, why we should hold on to Jesus, why we should not lose our hope and lose our faith in Christ, but we need to persevere. And then he says in verse 19, therefore, since we have confidence, enter the holy place. Since we have a great priest over the house of God. And then he'll give his main point, his main encouragement, his main exhortation. He says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So that's one, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Number two is, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then the last one, the third one, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So those are the three main exhortations that he gives in this book. He says, let us draw near to God, let us hold fast the hope without wavering, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Don't forsake assembling together. And for the readers of this time, their main struggle was this intellectual barrier that they had regarding Jesus Christ. You know, they were like, well, you know, it didn't make sense how Jesus is a high priest while he was not from the line of Levites. And how can this be? And I imagine the struggle for these guys would have been persecution. You know, he talks about it at the end of chapter 10 a little bit about how they had to lose their property. You know, people were put in prison. They were made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations in verse 33. So there was a persecution that came their way that would maybe waver their faith in Jesus Christ, waver their hope in Jesus Christ. So he's writing these things to encourage them. But I wonder, you know, what is it for us in our time? Because obviously, it's not persecution for us. We're not being persecuted for our faith so much like these guys were. But I was meditating upon it a little bit. I think for us, it's apathy. You know, we get so comfortable with our faith, and there is like a little bit of persecution will probably do us good in a way, you know, because it will make us suffer. It will really be counting the cost of our faith, and it'll kind of encourage us and spur us on to really hold on to God. But for us, everything is comfortable, and there's so many distractions that kind of pull us away from God. There's also our own laziness. Also it will be our busyness that maybe makes us waver in our faith, waver in our relationship with God. And I just wanted to encourage you with the same three exhortations. You know, first, that we would draw near to God. And Pastor Eugene yesterday, he used three things. He said the upward call, and the inward call, and the outward, right? And these three totally match it, so I thought I'll just use that. Draw near to God with a sincere faith. That is our upward, that's the upward call of strength that the writer is encouraging us to do. That we would draw near to God, that we would understand, you know, that we have confidence because of this great high priest that loves us, that knows what we're going through, that knows our weaknesses. So he says, hey, let us draw near to God. Go upward. Go in your own relationship with God. Draw near to him and build that relationship with him. And the second call is, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And this is, I mean, kind of the imagery I have is someone that is passionate about their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, he says, without wavering, hold fast to your hope, the confession of your hope. And this is the inward call of strength. You know, that inside in your own heart, when things come your way that make you question your faith, when difficult times come, or when distractions come, or when busyness comes your way to try and take you away from your relationship with God, from the inner convictions that you have about Jesus Christ, he's saying, no, hold fast to the confession of your hope. This is your inward call of strength. And the last one is, hey, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And that's the outward call of strength, that you would work together as a body to draw near to God and to hold fast to your hope, to the confession of your hope. And I believe the three work together. You know, as we draw near to God, our hope and the assurance of that hope will be stronger for our inner conviction. And as we have that, we'll be able to better stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But in the same way, if we do not neglect, you know, the gathering together and assembling together, and we faithfully put ourselves in the community of believers, our inner convictions will be strengthened as we share with one another, as we pray with one another, and through that we'll be able to draw closer to God. And same way, as we hold on to that inner conviction, as we try our best to stay faithful inside and be strong in our heart, we'll be able to draw near to God better, and we'll be able to stimulate other people better as we hold on to that promise, that hope in our own convictions. So, I just wanted to encourage us in that. You know, this book, it leads up to this exhortation. He's saying, hey, Jesus Christ is better. He's this and he's that. He has a better sacrifice. He is the better priest. He is better than Moses, greater than the angels. And therefore, let us hold on to him. Let us draw near. Let us hold on to the hope. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And I just encourage us to do the same thing together this morning, that we would draw near to God and we would hold fast to the hope of faith, the confession of our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And tonight, as you go to your house churches, you know, that you would stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and you would consider, you know, how you may spur each other on and encourage each other as we get together. So let's close our eyes, and Mon's going to come and lead us in a time of worship. But let us just open up our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us through this passage. And let us focus on the first one today. Let us draw near to God this morning. The invitation is always there. You know, God is always with open hands inviting us to enter into His presence and to meet with Him.
To heaven, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven, there is freedom. Sing where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. And freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Freedom reigns. And freedom reigns in this place.
Thank you for the freedom that we have in you, Jesus. I thank you that when we come before you and draw near to you, that there is freedom in this place, God. That you're not, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because that sacrifice is sufficient to take away all our sin and to make us clean. God, we can draw near with sincere faith and with confidence and assurance that we are accepted into your presence. Father, I just pray that you will continue to draw near to us as we draw near to you. And help us this morning as we pray and intercede on behalf of our church members and on behalf of the church. So we thank you, God, for this time. Let us go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor O, New Life Church, and Pastor Tang. Let's also pray for Center of Peace Orphanage and Grace Chung, who is there with the organization Bloom. Let's also pray for the Philippines, Solomon's Clinic that is there, and Mr. Jang, who is Jihei's father, who does a lot of ministries there. And let's also pray for Bhutan. Let's pray for the three countries. Let's pray that the love of God would come and the Spirit of God would move in those nations. Let's pray together. Thank you. Let's pray for the SP Ministries. Let's pray for the Intercessor Prayer Team and Cascade, the Inner Healing Ministry, and the Well Physical Healing Ministry. Let's continue to pray for breakthrough in physical healing, that we would have more and more testimonies of God doing amazing things through the Well. Let's also pray for Matt, who is the head of the IP team. Let's pray for God's grace and anointing upon him as he leads this ministry. And also Cascade, Leanne is leading this ministry, so let's pray for her as well. And let's pray God's protection over these guys as they are always dealing, you know, with real spiritual battles. So let's pray for God's protection over them as well. Let's pray together. House churches. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, MacDaddy, MacRobinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. And this week, as the house churches have their Thanksgiving celebrations, let's just pray for real spirit of Thanksgiving, and that it'll be an encouraging time for many, and a very joyful time for all the house churches. So let's pray for our house church meetings tonight. Let's also pray for our community, members of our community that are going through some difficult times. Let's pray, let's continue to lift up Charles, Han, and his father, Alex, and his father. And let's pray for Max and Belinda. Let's pray for Belinda to continue to be healed. Let's pray for Steve and Janine. And Janine is going through chemo, so let's pray for her. And if you remember Lizzie, who is a niece of our good friend Charles, who he doesn't come to our church, but you know, he knows many of the guys at our church, and he asked for prayer for Lizzie. And she's very, very young. She's like 2 or 3 years old or something, but she needs to go through radio active therapy, I think, for her. I don't have the specifics, but just pray for this little girl Lizzie, that God would bring healing. God, I mean, she's been improving, but there's still it's an uphill battle, basically. So let's pray that God would really bless this little girl Lizzie and bring healing to her. Let's pray for others that you know that I've forgotten, who are going through sicknesses, whose parents are sick. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job in this season. Let's pray that God will provide for them, and that in this time that they won't be discouraged, but that God's presence will come. And and that they'll be able to just sense the presence of God and hear His voice in this time of waiting. So let's pray for our fellow brothers and sisters. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank You, Lord. Thank You that we can draw near to You this morning. We pray for our brothers and sisters, God, at our church that are going through a tough time. We just want to lift them up to You. We want to stand in the gap for them, God, and we pray that Your strength will be upon them, that they'll be able to persevere, that they'll be able to hold fast the confession of their hope in You, Lord. And we pray for healing for many of them. Full healing, we just pray in Jesus' name for full healing to come upon their body. We thank You that by Your stripes we are healed, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, God, that as a church that we would always gather together and consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, God, that we would encourage each other, that we would be a community, you know, that is vulnerable and open and loving to each other, God, and connected to each other. God, watch over us this day. I pray that we will glorify You and bring joy to Your heart. And thank You that Your presence is with us today. We love You, Lord. We worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.